at 12 noon, only on Sirius XM Channel 141, HUR Voices.
WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Every year during tax season, we tell you about the Earned Income Tax Credit. And every year, someone misses out by leaving money on the table. Tonight, we're reminding you to see if you qualify. We're also answering tax questions as the deadline approaches. My guests are Joseph Lightman Santa Cruz, Associate Director of the Capital Area Asset Builders, and Salome Tinker, CPA with TSC Enterprises. If you have a question about the Earned Income Tax Credit or tax questions in general, give us a call, because the deadline is Monday. That's the 16th, so it's coming up.
Tuesday. It's actually Tuesday.
It's Tuesday. Oh, that's right. It's the 17th. That's right, because you do get an extra day. Thank you, and I'll talk about that as well. Thank you so much, Joseph, for coming in. Salome, always good to see you.
Thank you. You too.
Let's talk about the Earned Income Tax Credit. What is it, Joseph?
Harold, I appreciate being here with you. This is the third year in a row you give me the opportunity to further inform and empower the community. Harold, for the last 42 years, the Earned Income Tax Credit has been considered the most effective anti-poverty public policy that we have in this country of ours. It's estimated that about 20% of those who are eligible to claim the credit do not get it. And what does that mean? That translates into billions of dollars being wasted primarily by low and moderate income communities, specifically by African American and Latino communities. To bring it home, Harold, here in the District of Columbia, a family of four who in 2017 earned, let's say, up to $24,000 could get a federal Earned Income Tax Credit up to $6,400. On top of that, they could be getting the D.C. state level of the Earned Income Tax Credit of up to $2,300. So right there, Harold, we've talked about almost $9,000 that could be wasted by a low-income family of four if they're not claiming the credit. What exactly is it? It's a tax advantage that has been created so that society can co-invest with a lower moderate income family that has skin in the game, that earned income, that worked last year. This is not a free public benefit. This is a lower moderate income family getting their money back. We love to say, EITC, you earned it, claim it, use it, and maximize it for the benefit of your family.
When you talk about a family of four as an example, this is not just for families, though. Can single people also qualify for this?
This is for individuals and families. It's a scaled down income approach. So the more dependents you have, the more income you're generating, the greater the credit can be, up to a point. But it's something extremely important for people to know that. And Harold, one of the things that we tend to fight against, unfortunately, is the misunderstanding that because you did not make enough money to pay taxes, that means that you should not be reporting your income. You should not be filing a tax form. So the IRS says, hey, if your family made up to $20,500, don't worry about it. You don't owe me any taxes. Well, guess what? You do not owe money to Uncle Sam, but Uncle Sam owes money to you. And that is why we're always focusing on maximizing why folks should be aware of the EITC as well as other tax credits that could bring thousands of dollars into the pockets and the financial well-being of those families.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about the Earned Income Tax Credit, but we're also answering tax questions. If you have any concerns or comments about your taxes, of course, they're due next week. Give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So, Joseph, explain for someone who, as you said, if they, in an individual, for example, who only earned $20,500 a year, how much of a difference could that make in their refund if they file and include the earned income tax credit.
So, Harold, let's just assume an individual who earned income last year, and that could have been either through a W-2 employment or a 1099 employment, self-employment, owning a small business, being an Uber driver, driving for Lyft, whatever it is. It could have meant working one day or could have meant working the full year. So there's no minimum number of days to be eligible for this credit or other additional credits at both the federal and the state level. What matters the most is that if you earn income, if you had skin in the game, then society wants to reward that investment that you made in yourself. But to give you one specific example, let's assume an individual who earned up to $15,000, who's not married, who does not have any dependents, would be able to claim the EITC. The level of credit that could be received would not be as high as if you have dependents, but it would still potentially put hundreds of dollars in your refund.
Let me also take a step back and just say, what exactly is a tax credit? Now, there are two types of tax credits. There's one that's a non-refundable tax credit, which means you get a refund only up to the amount that you owe. What we're talking about is a refundable tax credit. That means you get a refund even if it's more than what you owe. So theoretically, you can get more than what you put in.
Mm-hmm. Now, what if you're talking about, let's say, the spring semester for adult college students is coming to an end. What if they are working full time during the summer? Would they apply? Would they be eligible for that?
If they are not being claimed as a dependent by their parents or a legal guardian or a grandparent, then absolutely. And that's the key aspect right there, Harold, that it doesn't matter the amount of money being made. All of us need to be reporting income, primarily so that we can find out what tax credits we're eligible for. Furthermore, Harold, talking about taxes ain't nothing sexy, right? Except when we talk about wealth creation in the community through tax systems. The tax code in this country is by far one of the most complex laws that exists. It's extremely difficult to fully comprehend every single component. However, it is extremely important to know that in order to achieve personal financial goals in this country, such as buying a home, taking out a loan for our kids to go to college, it is extremely important to be filing taxes. So we all know, Harold, that in order to qualify for a mortgage, you need to confirm and to be able to verify that you have filed taxes. So it's not only about the taxes for 2017 we're talking about. We're talking about being a proactive participant in the tax system so that you can enjoy other investments down the road in your life.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about your taxes. If you have any general questions about income tax filing and the like, give us a call. Also, we're talking about the earned income tax credit. You don't want to leave money on the table if you are low income or a moderate income tax filer. Let's go to Lamont calling from Germantown. Lamont, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Appreciate it. Great show. So here's my scenario. I am an Iraq veteran. I receive disability, non-taxable income. The issue I have, I'm married with two children. EIC, my wife is getting for our two minor children. And because I don't want a refund, well, I'm not working. My wife, can she claim me as a on her taxes? I'm not working. I'm receiving non-taxable income being a disabled vet. She's been claiming our two daughters the last 6-7 years as married but single. But is there a benefit that can she claim me to get more money?
Well, she needs to claim you because you're married. And if you're married, you need to either file married filing separately or married filing jointly. So you should be being your participation should already be in there.
Okay. I think what Montgomery County.
No, well, don't stop.
I believe it.
Go ahead, Salome.
But yeah, you should be claiming if you're married. So the fact that you said head of household is for a single person with dependents. So the fact that you said you're married, you only have two choices. You have to file married filing jointly or married filing separately.
Okay. Lamont, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Crystal calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, I just had two quick questions. I have a 17-year-old son. He's 17 now. He had a summer job last summer. He didn't make very much money at all. I don't even know if it was $1,000 that he made. But I wanted to find out, should he be filing a tax return for himself, or should I put his income on mine? And the other question that I had really quick was, I don't understand why I might have owed money if I didn't own a home. I always put all the maximum allowances and have them take out all the money that they possibly can throughout the year. But for whatever reason, it was short, and I'm not sure how to get them to take out everything that they need or even more during the year so that I never have a chance of owing at the end. Even though I do have a home and I always get a refund back.
Okay, Crystal, hold on. Because you had two questions and we got the first one, but mm-hmm. I didn't get the second one. What's the second question?
The second question is, I want to be able to make sure that next year I won't have to owe any money. So how do I go about doing my taxes next year so that I can have them take out all the money possible throughout the year, so at the end of the year I don't owe anything?
So what I need you to do is, can you hold on, because I'm coming up on a break and I want to make sure that you get the benefit of the answers for both of your questions. And before I go to that break, I want to make sure that we get some information out there. I've got less than a minute. Joseph, where can people find out more information about the earned income tax credit online?
www.caab.org, caab.org. And Harold, people can find out information not only about tax credits, but also about free tax preparation services available throughout the community. Take advantage of those trusted, high-quality free tax preparation services.
caab.org. Okay. And by the way, for those of you listening right now, if you are looking for other resources that we may talk about later on in this program, I promise all of those resources will be posted on WHUR.com on the Daily Drum page. Just go to WHUR.com, scroll down. That information will be there, in addition to information about our guests. So please, if you are on the line, please stay with us. You will be able to hear the information that we're sharing. Crystal will have your answers in just a bit. Faisal will also have your call. Anita will be talking to you. And we're taking more of your phone calls even after 7:30 at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation on Sirius XM Channel 141 in just a few seconds.
Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking about the earned income tax credit, and we're also answering tax questions as the tax deadline approaches next week. My guests are Joseph Lightman Santa Cruz, Associate Director of the Capital Area Asset Builders, also Salome Tinker, CPA with TSC Enterprises. If you have a question or a comment, lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If the lines are busy, keep trying. I promise we will get to you. Let's go back to Crystal. She was asking about her 17-year-old son who earned about $1,000 at a job. Should he file or should she claim him on her income taxes? Salome?
Yes, both.
Really?
Yes, both. She should claim him on the income taxes because, of course, she took care of him. He's independent. But also, he should file because he needs to get in the habit of doing his constitutional duty to pay taxes. And he would file. He would just put zero for exemptions, because that's just letting the IRS know that his family are, he's been filed by another person. But then that now might make him eligible for things like the earned income tax credits or things like that if he's qualified for. But again, they should start early. I mean, think about it. If you're a child star that made $1 million, do you think the Uncle Sam is going to say just because you're 8, you're 12, you can't file? So at any point you make money, you have a duty to the country to file your taxes.
Okay.
And Crystal, what I would be recommending is for your 17-year-old son to actually put as much of that money, if it's $1,000, if you're able to put all of it or some of it into a Roth individual retirement account, Roth, R-O-T-H, IRA, in the name of your son. That $1,000, by the time your son is eligible to retire, will be significantly higher. So this is fantastic wealth creation for the benefit of your son, who right now, of course, is not thinking about retirement at all. But trust me, by the time he is about to retire, or by the time he retires, that $1,000 put away this year into a Roth IRA will be a blessing.
Yeah, and then he'll be able to take care of Crystal. And then,
there you go.
Right. And then, I know you had two questions, but I do also want to segue. There is also a credit, and I know we're talking about earned income credit, but there's a savings credit for low and moderate income folks. Absolutely. As well. So if they make their income does not exceed $30,000 or $45,000 if head of household and $60,000 for married filing jointly, that the Uncle Sam gives you money for saving. There's a credit for that as well.
Now, what is that called?
It's called the savings credit.
Savings credit.
Mm-hmm.
And what matters here is that the saver's credit is another incentive, yeah, primarily for low and moderate income families to set up a banking relationship, to set up a bank or a credit union account, start the process of setting money aside for either an emergency saving, for retirement, for college planning. But it's a great way to incentivize a family to set money aside for the long term.
And real quick, her second question, quickly, please.
Okay, and your second question is very hard, difficult to talk about your circumstances because you would probably need to come in for consultation. But again, you just make sure that your exemptions is below what they are now. If you took money out of your 401k, that would cause you an automatic owe. So, you know, just work with your tax preparer. You know, certainly you go on the website and get our information, or you could probably go over to the office of my colleague here, and we can talk about how you can reduce your exemptions to make sure that you don't owe. And then I would also encourage you to do a semi-annual assessment. So around June right now, let's look at what you put in, and then let's do a calculation of what your income may be projected to be at the end of the year, and see if you need to adjust to avert a negative situation.
Crystal, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Anita, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Anita. What's on your mind?
Yes, hi. I called you last year. I had a problem with my taxes, and it seemed like every year I'm still having the same thing. I wanted to know, do they, when the RIS is trying to reach you, do they email you?
Okay.
Things they need to take care of.
So when I'm not kind of understanding your question. So have you been audited, or did you get a bill? You're saying what's the proper notification when the IRS have issues with you? They'll typically give you a letter in the mail. They will not send you an email. They will give you a letter in the mail. Do not click on those IRS buttons, please. That's malware.
Yeah, Anita, the IRS will only communicate to you via the U.S. Postal Service. They will not call you. They will not fax you. They will not email you.
Because I kind of figured that it was a scam because it came through my job email, and it says that you're under suspicion of violating federal law, and they gave me a title number of 26 letter USC.
You don't even have to keep reading it again. And my information will be on posted on the Drum. Mm-hmm. You could just email me and shoot me the email, say, is this real? And I would probably shoot you an email back and say, nope. And then you can go ahead on and delete that message.
But you know, and I'm sure that our guests will also say the IRS will not call you, but you can call them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just got some information off the line that I can call them. And I have another issue that I keep every time I get ready to do my taxes every year. I have an issue of I use my son every year. Last year I had the same problem. This year I have the same problem that somebody was using his Social Security number. He didn't give them permission to use it. Now they sent me a paper in the mail stating that I have to do proof that he is my son and that he didn't give nobody permission to do that. And I did my taxes what the first part of the year when it was time to, get done. And they just sent me the letter for me to send to get my taxes.
She's talking about identity theft, particularly.
Absolutely.
As it relates to the filing of income tax, whether it's local or state or federal. Talk to us. What can she do to address that?
So, Anita, sounds like you are on the right track, which is to communicate directly with the IRS. Make sure you're also communicating with the tax authority in Maryland, because you need to be sure that nobody else is claiming your son in any other Maryland state tax forms. But again, communicate directly with the IRS. And unfortunately, Anita, to set your expectation correctly, it might be taking a long time to resolve this issue. And that is why for 2018 taxes, meaning in early 2019, please make sure to be filing your taxes as early as possible so you can be avoiding for anybody else to steal your son's or your identity.
Okay. Anita, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Faisal, calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, how are you? I guess my question is, how do I file if I was unemployed last year, receiving unemployment, and I'm married with three kids?
Was your unemployment, should have been taxed, right?
Yes.
So
yes,
therefore you just bring that statement in and you file normally, and I would suggest you probably see my colleague here, since you're unemployed, you don't want to see me.
So Faisal, you're the unemployment agency, assuming that it was in the Commonwealth of Virginia, should have provided you with a tax form that specifies how much was paid to you in unemployment benefits and how much they retain. Usually they only retain at the state level. So I'm sorry to share with you, but it is potentially a situation where you might still have to pay federal taxes on unemployment. State governments usually discount only state taxes. They do not discount federal taxes. So make sure that you're fully aware of how much was taken away from your unemployment check and how much you might need to pay. So just bring that tax form to a tax site and they should be able to assist you.
But remember, if you made below the minimum thresholds we're talking about, you still might could mitigate that because you may be qualify for earned income credit because you didn't work.
Okay. Thank you so much. 202-319-7810. We're talking about taxes generally, as well as the earned income tax credit. If you have a question about the earned income tax credit or your income taxes, filing or otherwise, give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Mark, calling from Northwest D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi. Good evening to you and your panel. Question that I have is regarding filing a tax file of head of household. Is that the only file status that you can use to claim earned income tax credit?
No, you can be filing. It all depends on your situation. Are you currently married or do you have any dependents?
Yeah, I don't have any dependents. I am married, but I'm retired and earn less than $28,000. So would that qualify me for that earned income credit?
Absolutely. And you and your spouse would be eligible for not only that tax credit, but for potentially other tax credits at both the federal and at the D.C. level. So the first step you need to take, Mark, is to actually file your taxes and get it done before the deadline, which this year will be Tuesday, April 17th. By the way, there are free tax preparation services available in the District of Columbia and throughout the DMV region. I would advise you to send a text with the word DC taxes to 797979. And okay, you will get a link to all the different free tax preparation sites available throughout Northwest D.C. and throughout the District of Columbia. The reason why I focus on that is that in the District of Columbia, we have the highest paid tax preparation cost of about $200. And what I would love the most is for you and your wife to keep your money rather than have to pay for that.
I agree with that 100%.
There you go.
And I'm sure your wife will be happy to hear that, too. Okay. Mark, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Here's a really important question, Joseph. The country just saw one of the most sweeping tax reform bills passed last December and signed by the president. This is the 2017 tax filing year. But in 2018, next year for the 2018 tax filing,
What impact might tax reform have on the earned income tax credit, if any at all?
At the direct level, Harold, fortunately, there is no impact. Both Congress and the president did not wisely, fortunately, touch the earned income tax credit. So for a 44th consecutive year, it will continue to have full bipartisan support.
Okay, so no problems there. Same thing, same question to you, Salome, not having to do with the earned income tax credit, but other issues. What will change next year for those people who are not eligible for the earned income tax credit, but maybe itemizing home-based businesses and the like?
Yeah, there may be some impact, and you certainly have to get with your CPA to do a scrub of what you have. If you have a home, looking at your mortgage interest and how that impacts, they're just very little nuances. You shouldn't overall be impacted, but certainly as you have a business, you get more complicated, you may feel some challenges.
Will there be a loss of some deductions next year?
It just depends on what you mean. I think for the most part, like I said, for the average person, they wouldn't feel it. It's things like deductions for your Schedule A, your Schedule Cs, when you're a business.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. LaVon calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling, LaVon. What's on your mind? LaVon?
Yes.
Go right ahead. Turn your radio down, please.
Thank you. I am just now receiving alimony, and my tax person last year forgot to claim my alimony, so they had to do an amendment, and now I have to owe for 17 and 18 for taxes. So how do I get an extension to pay for those taxes?
Unfortunately, you don't get an extension because that was last year's taxes. So, but what you could do is you should immediately file. If it's already been determined that you owe, you can probably get a payment plan so you don't have to feel the impact. You know, you might be able to just offer the IRS $50 or something, a month until you pay it off. That's the best recourse, because what that does is say, tell the IRS, okay, it's not my fault. A mistake was made. If I owe, I want to make good on it, but I can't pay now. And that also takes liens and all kinds of other things off of you, because as long as you're in an active payment plan, you're still considered current for purposes of IRS. So if you're looking to get a home or a loan, you won't see that on there. But you gotta pay. I mean, if you make a promise to pay, you gotta honor the promise, because the minute you stop, it reverts back to.
You said you just received alimony. When you say just received alimony, what do you mean?
I think she means that she. Oh, go ahead on, man.
Go ahead, LaVon.
I shouldn't be talking for you. Go ahead.
Go right ahead, LaVon. LaVon, can you hear me? I think we may have
scared her off.
Yeah, may have, but that's all right.
But Harold, something very important that LaVon was mentioning, not directly though, but everybody would benefit, is to know that in this country, our tax files are open for 3 consecutive years. So even if we have not filed taxes for 2014, 15, and 16, you can still be doing that by April 17. So that's extremely important when the government owes you money through any kind of a tax credit, that you can still be going back for the previous 3 years and get your money back.
Okay. Also, you need to know is that if they owe you money and you don't file in those 3 years, you lose that money.
You have to do it in 3 years. LaVon, we're going to catch you after this break. Please don't hang up. Have some more questions for you. Stay with us. We're talking about your income taxes and the earned income tax credit. Are you eligible? Don't leave the money on the table. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment.
Welcome to the Orphan Diner.
XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about your taxes tonight, specifically the earned income tax credit. We're asking you to see if you qualify. Don't leave the money on the table if you are low income or moderate income earner. And also, if you have any other tax questions, you can give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We lost LaVon, but she's back. LaVon, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Thank you. My question to you, you said you just received or started receiving alimony, and I was trying to drill down on that a little bit. When you say just received, what did you mean just?
2017 would have been the first year that I would have start claiming.
Uh-huh.
When I filed, and she, for some reason, she didn't claim it. So uh-huh. Now I have to go, when I claim, get my tax refund, now I have to pay back that alimony for 2017. But even to set up a payment plan, they charge you to set up a payment plan, $300 to the IRS. So
mm-hmm.
you paying money on top of money to the IRS.
How much are we talking about for?
For 2017, I have to pay back $720. And for this year, I pay back over $700.
So you mean 2016, that's what you're saying? Because this is the 2017 file year.
I guess what I was asking was how much in
total
in a year did you receive for alimony that you did not claim?
The whole year of 2016, 2017?
Yes. The reason I'm asking is what was the taxable amount?
I can't remember.
Or you can't, you can't, because she said she owes, you said you owe $700?
Yes.
So I guess my question is when you.
And I have to pay taxes for this year too.
Right. So when you went to your tax preparer, you didn't indicate that you had alimony?
I did, but
for some reason she said she wasn't there. And so you owe, so you got a tax bill for how much?
Oh, I got a tax, I think it was $1,000 and something.
Okay.
And they told you the fee to set up a payment to make an arrangement to send money in was $300.
Yes.
I'm not talking about automatic deduction. I'm just talking about just sending money in.
To set up a payment plan, the IRS wants to charge me $300.
Okay. Well, you got to do it. So what you going to do?
Yeah.
Well, I got to do it.
Right. Yeah.
And LaVon, my recommendation is any kind of a dispute with the IRS, there's actually a friendly unit within the IRS called the Taxpayer Advocate. Taxpayer Advocate. Since you're in Virginia, just please Google Taxpayer Advocate Virginia, and they would be able to advocate on your behalf inside the IRS.
Okay.
All right. LaVon, thank you so much for calling. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I think LaVon brought up a really interesting point, which brings me to this question. Besides not claiming income that you should claim, what other mistakes do people make when they are filing their income taxes, Salome?
Some of the biggest mistakes is, again, is not telling the preparer all that you got. I mean, you really should have a relationship with your preparer, or, I mean, even if you're going to a Vita preparer, you need to just spill everything. Because you never know. We can't determine if you have a credit, because there are more things other than earned income credit. There are a lot of credits that if you just told them everything you did, and even if, you know, I know sometimes some tax preparers want to rush you out. Sit there and take the time to say, hey, you know, they might ask you, did you buy a house? Yeah, I bought a house and I purchased a furnace. Oh, did you purchase a furnace? Was the furnace energy efficient? Did you know you can get a tax credit for energy efficient things? But if you just sit there and say, oh, here's my W-2 and do it and then that's it, you know, it would be hard. And again, I understand I'm a preparer. There's sometimes when there are, you know, tons of people in the office and you kind of get moved in and out, but it's your due diligence to say, nope, you're going to talk to me. I'm paying you this money, especially if you're paying. And this is what I have. If a person is not sitting down and really getting into the nitty gritty of what you did that year, you probably need to find a new preparer. So just basically, like you said, just leaving money on the table, not having that conversation so that we can extract information out from you is probably one of the biggest detriment.
Also,
Carol, it would also be maximizing, knowing how to maximize tax advantageous strategies. Anybody who's employed with an organization where if you're not participating in your 401k, then you are literally leaving a lot of money on the table. That is pre-tax money, meaning that whatever amount of money you would be contributing to your 401k would not be taxed. So right there is something on how you could be minimizing your taxable income. You can also be minimizing your taxable income by depositing money into an individual retirement account. You can also be minimizing taxable income by depositing money into a health savings account through your employer. You can also be minimizing taxable consequences by donating to charities, to church, to mosques, to other charitable, making other charitable contributions. So you need to be aware of how to legally and transparently play the game for the benefit of your family.
And also, when you're talking about people who run, let's say, for example, cash businesses, hairdressers are a prime example. How do you file your taxes and not get in trouble? And I'm not necessarily, Salome, talking about someone who's doing it in their basement. I'm talking about someone who has an established business and the like, but it's still mostly cash.
Right. And two things I want to say to your point. That would probably be the biggest change, because next year when the new tax thing kick in, all of those things that you just mentioned might have the potential of not being that effective, because what they're going to do is they're going to raise the standard deduction, which will allow you not to even qualify to itemize your typical itemization where you would get the donations and stuff like that. So
which is a shame, unfortunately.
Which that might be the impact. You're saying you may not even, it might be a disincentive to do the donations to charity and those, like, because it don't matter, you didn't ever meet the standard deduction. And so a person might say, why bother? But then back to your second question, which was
about someone who owns a business that
yes,
is a
cash
business.
The problem is that I will use myself. I grew up in a very humble beginning, and it's always deemed that the IRS is the bad man, right? So you make cash and you don't want to report it. Well, you hurt yourself, because again, you might have made $40,000 as a cash owned business, but your expenses brought you down to $20,000. And now look, you qualify for the earned income credit and can get money in your pocket, but you didn't report because you said we come from a stereotype. I'm not telling Uncle Sam what I
everything,
made,
yeah.
You know, and so that's kind of what you heard. You need to deal with an accountant that can say, hey, let's go ahead and legitimately tell the IRS what you owe. Tell them all the expenses you did. Let's think about it. Did you go to drive to the beauty shop? Then, hey, you get a credit for your mileage. You get the credit for even buying the supplies. So you pay cash and you didn't tell the IRS that you had this money, then you can't claim the deduction either, because you didn't make the money to get the product. So we have to start learning that sometimes you got to just run unto Caesar what is Caesar. Go ahead and report, because you may find out that in your benefit,
But don't misunderstand my question. I'm not talking about someone who's eligible for the earned income tax.
No, what
credit.
I'm saying is they may have made $60,000.
No, I'm talking about someone who like the person who did your hair. Someone who probably is making six figures, who has an extremely successful personal service company that is mostly cash.
And remember, we started our country mostly cash. So that's not an excuse not to file. What you need to do is get with a tax preparer, and we need to do estimated payments. I mean, at the end of the day, that's a job. That's an occupation, and you don't want to owe. So what the IRS requires is that at the end of the tax year prior, you've made a certain amount of money. Use that amount to estimate what you owe on a go-forward basis, and then pay that quarterly over the next year, so that at the end of the year, you won't have a deficit. So that's kind of the strategy. I mean, there's a strategy behind it. And again, get with the preparer to see if we can get those deductions that, you know, get those deductions, qualified deductions in, so that we can reduce that tax burden.
And Harold,
I'm going to let you have the last 30 seconds.
I was going to say, my recommendation for the scenario you were presenting was, you have to have a methodology to account for every penny that gets in and every penny that goes out. So it is not difficult to have an Excel file, an accounting system, an online system, but it has to be tracked as to how you are receiving income and how you are managing your expenses.
QuickBooks is $10.
Well, see, there you go. Well, I want to thank both of you, Joseph Lightman, Santa Cruz, and of course, Salome Tinker. Information about both of our guests and resources will be posted on WHUR.com later on this evening. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Thursday, April 12th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for the connection with